Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Well, welcome back to Business Resolutions, my guest Bob Leith, and we were talking about how he became in love. He came in love with the Coast Guard and shipping and all, with his father's experience and so. But the Coast Guard, tell us how you got into the Coast Guard, and what was your learning experience from the Coast Guard experience?
Well, back in Rouse's Point in the village, when I was in my third year of high school, the principal came to me and he said, "Bob, how is your Spanish?" I said, "It's good." He said, "Well, do you know that if you take a Regency examination in third and fourth year of Spanish," he says, "you can get points." I said, "No, I didn't know that." And he says, "If you pass those examinations, then you could actually graduate from high school in 3 years." Well, that's a big deal. So anyway, I took them, and naturally, with the Spanish that I knew from Puerto Rico, I got those points, and I graduated from high school in 3 years instead of 41. It was 40. And then, of course, I applied to go to the Coast Guard Academy. So they took me all the way down to New London, Connecticut, and I got into the room to take the examination. But then somebody, I guess, looked at my record. He said, "Mr. Leith," he says, "you don't have physics or chemistry." He said, "No, I didn't have time because I graduated in 3 years." "Well, I'm sorry," he says, "one of the main requisites for being in the Coast Guard is physics and chemistry." So he says, "You better go back and take a postgraduate course and come back next year." It's okay. So I went back home, Rouse's Point, and I found out that my high school only taught physics every other year, but there was another high school 30 miles away that alternated with Rouse's Point. So I went to high school in the morning for physics, and I went to the other one in the afternoon for the chemistry. And then I went back a year later took the Coast Guard exam, and I went back home to wait. What happened was that came 1941 Pearl Harbor, and every one of my friends were joining the service like unbelievable, like leaving the ship.
Enthusiasm,
and I found myself in that small village, one of very few able-bodied men who wasn't in the service. So my dad told me, wait, but I didn't wait. I took a train, went down to New York, and I joined the Coast Guard and the Navy. And when I came back and told him what I'd done, he congratulated me. He says, "Go ahead." So I joined the Coast Guard as an apprentice seaman, as a volunteer, in 1942.
And the funny story is, by coincidence, you're divided up
I went to boot camp in Manhattan Beach, New York, then they went down to Baltimore for Fort McHenry. And one day they woke us all up, they put us out, and they said, "Okay, everybody whose last name starts from A and L," he said, "get on the buses." So we grabbed our gear and got on the buses. They took us out to the railroad station, put us on the railroad cars, and we ended up in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So we didn't know what was going on, and they gave us a day off. Then they called us back at 7 o'clock at night in a semi-dark room there, and they told us that by law they're supposed to tell us that we're leaving the United States, we're going foreign countries, and that in the morning they're going to put us on a plane and take us to a place called San Juan, Puerto Rico. So I called my dad and told him I was leaving.
You must have been happy with that news.
Well, I was happy.
And then, a foreign country was not foreign to Bob Leith.
It wasn't foreign to me. Everybody said,
"Everybody says, where's that?"
So the funny part of it was that I told my dad, he said, "You can't tell him." He said, "You're going to a foreign country?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you speak the language?" And everybody said, "Yeah." Oh, he said, "Bingo." So my dad knew where I was going. The funny thing about that,
Cuba, no? It could have been Havana.
It could have been anything.
He figured
the Americans were not going there yet. But anyway.
And that's probably where the Coast Guard had a big center, big base.
But they had a big base in Guantanamo Bay at that time. That we did finally go there, so I saw that. But I landed in San Juan, Puerto Rico, but 24 hours later, we were all on Coast Guard ships. Because the Coast Guard and the Navy were all in the Caribbean, dropping depth charges because the Germans controlled shipping all over this area for a year. In fact, Puerto Rico had a hard time bringing in food for a year there. 1942, end of 43, it was pretty tough in Puerto Rico getting stuff. The Germans controlled it, and it wasn't until the United States could get their naval submarine service and the ships built up, come down here, and then take over. But for a while there, the Germans controlled this whole area. And that's why I realize now why they cut the training short and sort us down. I just wonder if my name would have been Martinez, where the heck I would have ended up. I'm glad I ended up because I ended back in Puerto Rico, although not in there, but at least close by that the ship come in here once or twice a month.
And when you were out there, it was complete silence. Nobody knew where you were. No communication.
The Germans had a pretty good radio system, and every time if we turned on the radio or anything like that, they knew where we were. So we had to, the minute we passed the El Moro, it was radio silence till we came back. We're not as sophisticated as it is today.
There was an experience because of that silence that was quite traumatic.
One of the worst things that ever happened was that on one of those trips that we came back, the captain gave me a bunch of mail from my mother, dad, my Irish mother, and then he proceeded to tell me that in the mail they had received a cable that had been ashore until we arrived, telling that my mother had passed away 2 weeks prior and she had been buried for 2 weeks. And I was 20 years old at the time, and that was quite a shock. And I went ashore to try and see if I could get home. And the commanding officer, he says, there's no way that if you could make a funeral, I'd be the first to get you there. He says, but she's dead and buried. There's nothing you can do but go home and cry with your family. He says, and you can do that on board the ship. So he ordered me back to the ship, and I did cry on board. But I was very fortunate that at that time I was on number 5 on list for a leave. And the 4 sailors ahead of me, they gave up their place in line. So within 30 days, I was back home and, see
my
family.
Rouse's Point
on the Canadian border.
Took you about, 5 days, 3 days?
Took us around 4.5 days because we had to go to
What Miami. A bad trip that must have been.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Dying to get home, but.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break. I think it's a good moment. And I'm with Bob Leith. We'll be right back after this break.